The word this morning was clear to us all that prayer is necessary. I may say tonight, our most important cooperation with the Lord is not our work in the first place, the work that we do, but it is the prayer. This is the most important cooperation with the Lord. Without prayer, it doesn't work. And the Lord is waiting for brothers and sisters who pray unceasingly, not just every so often, not just once a week. Even we have a church prayer meeting once a week. That's too little. The Bible says, pray unceasingly. Pray unceasingly. And from so many examples that we have seen this morning in the scriptures, how important is it that God finds people that cooperate with Him through prayer? Our prayer is necessary. God needs our cooperation through the prayer in the first place. This is truly important. Therefore, in the whole Bible, in the whole scriptures, we see about people who knew the will of God and were also praying accordingly. This is truly very important. In the New Testament, for example, we see Paul prays unceasingly. Of course, Paul is also the one who told us to pray unceasingly. This is one of the most shortest verses in the New Testament. Pray unceasingly, without ceasing. Let us read Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. And verse 9. What did Paul say here? Let us read it all together.
For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you.
God is my witness, did Paul say. God is my witness. How that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. This is the word of an apostle, a servant of the Lord. It reminds me of the word of Samuel. God, he said, may God forbid that I may sin against him, that I would pray for you. For Samuel, it is a sin not to pray for the people of God. Oftentimes, we do so many things for the Lord, but we do not pray. And especially for all the serving ones, the responsible ones. The more we have to pray not only for the work of the Lord, but for all the things, for all the young people, and daily. just as our brother has given the testimony. Oftentimes God had to remind us. But we are supposed to remind God. God, did you not say that you will build the church? And where is the church today in Europe? Have you ever prayed like this? Not yet. But from tonight on, you would learn. You have to. Did you not speak clearly in the word, I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Isn't that a good verse, right? Remember this verse? Yes. This is an important verse. God is my witness. I have complained many times. God, did you not want to build your church? And after 2,000 years, where is your church? And you say, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I have seen over and over again that the building of the church is constantly being destroyed and destroyed again and again destroyed. I said, this cannot be. Lord, I want to see a glorious church that you are building. Is that not the desire of your heart? Did you not want to have this? You know, for Paul, this is not a work. He was zealous with God's zeal, jealousy. And he wants to present the church a pure virgin. It's because Paul had such a heart. He knew the will of the Lord. And therefore, he prayed all the time for the church, even for the churches and for all the saints. He even said, God is my witness. What is God supposed to witness about? How much work I have done? No. He says, God is my witness. That without ceasing I make mention to you always in my prayers. Amen. In the church in Stuttgart? How often do you pray for the church in Stuttgart? How often do you pray? Lord, as long as I am in Nürnberg, I want to see the church right here. Amen. You have to tell the Lord, I am not here for my studies, even though I'm studying. But I am here for the building of the church in Nürnberg. This is what I want to see. You have to tell this to the Lord. Don't think that such a prayer is not important to the Lord. No, such a prayer is very important to the Lord. In Nürnberg, there is someone standing for the building up of the church. Prayer is very, very important. Not just every so often when you think about it, but daily. Always, all the time. We that sit here pray daily and remind him and do not give him any rest. Of course, if you don't give him rest, you will not also, you also won't give rest to yourself. If you give yourself so much rest, of course, you will also give him a lot of rest. I'm not saying that we should be restless. No, it's a different matter altogether to be restless. However, we do not pause. I want to tell the Lord without ceasing, when will you accomplish and finish your work? How come it is tohu bohu today? How come there are so few people today that know your purpose? Have I not often told the Lord, Lord, why do you make it so difficult to people to listen to your voice, to hear your voice? Then he told me, I didn't make it difficult. They do not have an ear to hear, so what shall be said? It's not that the Lord would not speak, but we do not want to hear. We have no ear to hear what the Spirit speaks to the churches. And yet, we must intercede and pray. Even the Lord being on the throne today, as a high priest, what is he doing? What is he doing unceasingly? Interceding for whom? For the churches, for us. Even he himself is doing this. And if the Lord being up on high is interceding without ceasing for us, why should not we on earth today also intercede for his work? God, your will be done on earth today. Tell the Father, yes. When? Tonight we sang, when do you appear? How often do you ask the Lord this? Or did you tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not ready yet? Oh, when do you appear? Oh, please don't appear so quickly. How do you pray? Lord, not yet, please. I have so much to do still. Oh, I have not fully seen the world yet. I want to see this. So many things. You will plan, and you tell the Lord, Lord, please don't come so quickly. No. We should be praying according to God's purpose. God, Lord, build your church. Lord, your work must be brought on. God's will has to be done on earth. Thus, the Lord did teach us to pray. Father, thy name be sanctified. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth. In Switzerland, in the Ukraine, in Poland, in Africa, in Southeast Asia, in China. I have prayed often, Lord, stir up faithful people, faithful sisters for the building up of the church in China. Not just something, not just anyone, not just people, but faithful people that are faithful to the building up of the church. At the time of Moses, there are too many of God's people, but nobody is as faithful as Moses in his whole house of God. Moses was truly faithful. But today, for the building up of the church in Europe, all over Europe, we do need faithful people. Not just people, we need faithful men. Praise the Lord. And I hope that amongst us here, the Lord would stir up the Spirit. Amen. Right. The Lord has to stir up our spirit and enlighten us. Give us wisdom, revelation. Show us the heavenly vision and make us such people that are faithful for God's house. Isn't that truly wonderful? Otherwise, if there is a little problem, a little pressure, then you run off. No, that shouldn't be the case. You have been seeing so many people already that ran away. They just disappeared. A little bit offended, and then that's it, they're gone. In the past years, a lot of people came and went, left again. Thus, brothers and sisters, we must be people that pray, to pray God's will, that pray for God's purpose, that stand on God's side like Moses, as we have heard this morning. Such a person that he even thought for God. We have read, God told Moses, I want to destroy this people. They did idolatry and they have sinned so much, and all suddenly, after they crossed the Red Sea, they built a golden calf and were dancing around us. Oh my goodness, that's so quickly people have forgotten. They have seen the 10 plagues, they have seen the Red Sea dividing, and just 40 days on the mount to have fellowship with God. In that day, there in the valley, down there, what did they do? What have they done? And Aaron, my goodness, they went to Aaron and told him, Aaron, please make us a golden calf or anything. And Aaron agreed. How is this possible? Where are the faithful people? But Moses, he was faithful. At least one. Isn't that good? Is that good? And then God says, okay, I want to go destroy this purple people and I will make you a great nation, right? What would you say? You would say amen, right? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Why not? Do you not think that God didn't know that wouldn't work? God knew. Of course, God will never forget the promise to Abraham. There was a promise saying, from you there will be a great nation. And this was not given to Moses. No, this promise was not given to Moses, right? Don't you know God didn't know that? But he wants to hear this from Moses. He wants to hear it from you. First Moses said, no. Lord, that doesn't work. What will the Egyptians say if you destroy them all in the desert? You will be an evil God. Egyptians will say, you have used such a power, such a wonder, miracle, such an effort, and you took them out of Egypt. And then what you do with them? You will destroy them in the wilderness and slaughter them. What will they think about you? You will be an evil God with an evil intention. You have brought them out with evil intention. Moses thought about God's calling. Moses says, yes. God, what will the Egyptians think? They will laugh at you. Have you ever told the Lord, why have you let these things happen? And the religious people will say, look at the church, how it is. Look. Who will believe the truth about the building of the church if you allow people to do this and that and destroy your church and they talk evil about the church? Lord, who will believe if we say that you want to build up your church? Have you ever prayed like this? Told the Lord this? No, not like this. Then do learn from Moses. Prayer is not a formal thing. Father in heaven, that there thou art in heaven. Thy name be sanctified, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven and on earth as it is in heaven. This is not the case. You must know God. Only a one who knows God can pray like Moses prayed. If you do not know the living God, you will not know what to tell him. If you talk about many things, then you have a lot to say. But when you go to prayer, then suddenly you can't pray. But sometimes you pray long, but your prayer is just nice words. Lord, you are so wonderful. We praise you. We thank you. Oh, you died for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh yes, Lord. Amen. And then you have said so much and yet nothing. In such a situation as this was in the past, what shall Moses say? Oh Lord, we thank you, we praise you, you are just a wonderful God. Oh, you are the Creator, you are the Almighty God. Oh Lord, you are so good, full of mercy. And God will say, I know that, thanks. I knew that already, right? What do you want to tell me? What is the use of a nice prayer? It is of no use. Moses stood on God's side when he prayed. He fully understood God. Do you think Moses was wiser than God? No. God is an almighty God, knowing everything. But he wants to hear it. He wants to enjoy it. He enjoyed it when he hears it from Moses. And then God will say, okay, yeah, you're right, yes, that's true. Don't you think God didn't know that? But he needs this from us people. And then he said, think about your promise, Abraham. Do you think God had forgotten this? Did you think God forgot Abraham and now he wants to rise up Moses as a great nation? Do you agree? Why not? Such a man, knowing God's heart, knew God's heart. And spoke, had such a free prayer with God. He spoke to God, and God spoke to him. So praying is not just that we pray like that, but it is a fellowship with the living God. Herr Jesus. Lord Jesus. That's what we need today in the church. And as young people, this is our privilege to learn. Lord, how is that possible, Lord, that you let things happen like this? That's how it is. And here we also see Paul, in all his prayers, in all his epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Thessalonians, Timothy's epistle, in all his epistles we see he prayed unceasingly, without pause. He reminded God of the saints all the time. So this is so important. And this is the sign that this man works together with God. Not by doing something for God, but he is one that serves in the most holy place in front of the golden incense altar. This is the altar that stands the most closest to the Ark of the Testimony. For example, we realize in the tabernacle or in the temple, the burnt offering altar was all the way outside. There are two altars, one burnt offering altar, and that was a lot of activity. They slain offerings, sacrifices, there's so many activities there outside on the altar of the burnt offering. And they were eating and so on. And in the temple in Ezekiel, there are even four kitchens at the four corners. Praise the Lord for the kitchen. But the ministry, this was a service outside, far away from the holy place where God, the living God, lives and dwells. And right in front of this throne of God, there was a golden altar, an incense altar. Outside there, at the entrance, in the outer court, it was quite easy to serve, but to enter in, did Ezekiel say, only the sons of Zadok. Isn't there a brother whose name is Zadok from Africa? Where is he? No. Oh, praise the Lord over there. It's a good name. Zadok. At the time where a lot of people were unfaithful and ran away and didn't serve anymore, the sons of Zadok were faithful and remained to serve, to minister. Thus there is a difference between service and servant and servant. Some are faithful servants, and others, they just serve because they like to serve. And if there are problems, they don't serve anymore, and they say goodbye. They ran away, but the sons of Zadok, at the time where they have a lot of trouble, a lot of people ran away, the sons of Zadok remained. And in Ezekiel, God said, these sons of Zadok, they are allowed to draw near to me, only them and not the others, because they all ran away. Too bad. We don't have the time to do Ezekiel. and 10. 1 and 10. We just did 1 and 10. We can continue on at some other time in Ezekiel, especially about the ministry, the service. And they are allowed to draw near. They'll draw near. The others, they can stay outside in the kitchen. They can slaughter, slain, cook, eat, and do things outside. So praise the Lord. Don't think when the Lord comes back in the millennial kingdom that there is no difference. Even in the reward, there is a difference. It depends on whether or not we are faithfully serving Him today or not.
Amen.
This we need to know. I have to let you know this. Otherwise it won't be good. Then the Lord will tell me, why did you not tell them this? And then I said, okay, so I have to tell you this. Today already in the church, we all serve. But I hope we all learn to serve faithfully. And in the Bible, Moses, especially Moses, he has a reputation that he was faithful, a faithful minister of God. He was faithful over all things in God's house. This is very wonderful, a privilege. Lord Jesus. I hope tonight we're all sons of Zadok. Amen. What kind of priest are you? Oh, I'm a son of Zadok. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, let us all have such a desire. Oh, Lord, I want to be a faithful minister. And of course, Paul told Timothy, what you have heard from me, what you have seen in me, you have to command it. Faithful brothers who themselves teach others. Paul already thinks about the third and fourth generation. That's wonderful. That's how far he thinks. How far do you think? And I am convinced all those who serve faithfully, they are praying ones. If you do not pray, and draw near to God, and serve there at the golden incense altar, to pray, how can you be a faithful minister? And in prayer, God will appear to you and speaks to you. And so I am convinced, and it is, every servant that is faithful, he learns to serve in front of the golden incense altar. And their prayer is like a fragrance to the living God, rising up to God, ascending to God. If we all serve like that, a lot of things will happen. And therefore, the brother mentioned, what have they done in the book of Acts? Oh, yeah, the Lord says, wait, okay, go ahead and wait. And we have another 10 days, so let's go visit Jerusalem and sightseeing. Let's look for a tour guide.
Wonderful city, so let's go around and take a look.
Let's go around and take a look, right? If they had done this, and the Spirit were to be poured out on the day of Pentecost, and they're still on the tour out there, then that's it. Then the train has left. They were all in one accord, together, in one room. What have they done? They prayed. They praised. Hallelujah. Lord, we wait for the promise of the Father. We will be clothed, we will be equipped with power, not just with strength, but with power and authority against the enemy. And when they were together at the day of Pentecost, suddenly the Spirit came and they were all ready. Or even chapter 13, in Book of Acts, these five brothers who were getting together there, what did they do? Discuss? They came together, the five elders, the brothers got together. So, okay, what's the routine today? What's the financial report? How much do we have left in the bank account? What? No more money? What shall we do now? Can you give a message that the saints will offer up some money? So who's going to give the message? Not me. Okay, Günther Jansen. Let's give. In the Church of the Lord, there's always enough. There's always enough. And thus, we don't have to talk about the financials. Let's talk about the youth and young people. What are the youth doing? Okay, we won't talk about the money. We talk about the youth and young people. What are they doing? What shall we do? That the young people will not have any problems. Or let's talk about the meeting next week. Who's going to give the message? Whose turn is it? And which topic? Do you think they did it this way? What have they done? They prayed. They even fasted. I want to see that the brothers, when they gather together, that they also fast. Fast is always connected to prayer. How often do the brothers gather together to fast and pray in Berlin or in Zurich or even among the young people? When you got together to prepare, what do you do in the preparation? Fast and pray? Oh Lord. When they had prayed and fasted, the Holy Spirit spoke. That was Peter's experience when he came to Joppe, and it was his habit to go up to the rooftop. There, what did he do there? Sleep after his long trip. I got a jet lag, so I got to go get some sleep. And then he dreamt from the dreamt about that white cloth coming down. And when he had prayed, God had spoken to him. God has arranged it all in his heavenly ministry, in the home of Cornelius. People were sent to Joppe. and the Lord had to prepare Peter. And when they prayed, then he saw this vision. How can we serve the Lord without prayer? I want to ask you, how do you prepare a message? Oh, it's my turn on Sunday. Oh. So, what do you want to do when it's your turn on Sunday? Huh. Are you going to pray? Really? Yes? Amen. Amen. I believe you. Lord, oh my goodness, it's my turn. But what? If you know the Bible so well, and you are a gifted speaker like Paul or Apollos, and it's your turn on Sunday, what are you going to do? Will you pray? You also pray. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If all the brothers had been like this in the church, that would have been great. In the past, I read a report about Watchman Nee. Before, every Saturday he fasted and prayed because he was supposed to say a word on Sunday. Why not? Do we trust in our own ability? Do we trust in our knowledge? Or do we trust in the living God that He will give life? Everyone can give a message, but not everyone can give life. And hence, we need the prayer. We have to come to the Lord and receive something from Him. Otherwise, we just give a message. Everyone has heard it. Not okay, got it, agreed, and then go home, nothing happens. And that's how it is. Then we are not a faithful minister. And if we just do a service, then it is without power. Without results, nothing's happening. Even in some places, they have quarrels. Thus, we shall not serve God in this way. But in the book of Acts, we read that these brothers have prayed. And what did the apostles say when there was a problem amongst the widows? And they went to the apostles about the problem of the widows. What was it all about? About the distribution of food. Some widows, they thought we are Hebrew widows, okay? We are from Jerusalem, so we... What did the apostles say? Okay, let's. I'm gonna talk to Peter, Paul, James. Let's talk about it. What shall we do? Okay, did they do this? What did the apostles say? The apostle. It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve the tables. That's why we should give ourselves firstly to the Word, and secondly, to continuous prayer. The apostle knew very well they need time to pray, not just to search the Scripture. Do you think Peter has prepared a message at the day of Pentecost? He prepared Joel. Oh yes, I prepared. Let us not miss this. So which message shall I give? And he searched and searched. And John, what do you think? Then John says, maybe gonna read Joel. Do you think that's how they prepared it? They have said they want to consecrate their time for the ministry of the Word and for the prayer. Because the ministry of prayer without prayer, the ministry of the Word without prayer does not work. Because the ministry of the Word is the ministry of the Spirit that gives life. And without prayer, it will not work. Don't think that just because we know the Bible and we have gone through all these conferences, we know this and we know that. No. If we want to do the ministry of the New Covenant, which is a ministry of the Spirit, then this ministry has to always brought together with prayer. Because it is a ministry of the Spirit. It is the Spirit that gives life. Praise the Lord. As young people that we are here tonight, we all need to learn to serve in front of the old golden incense altar. And we shall be people that pray always, unceasingly, in a way that God will hear our prayer and that we will receive His answer and hear His speaking too. Because our God is a living God. He will hear our prayer. Especially, He will hear the prayer of the righteous. This is how it is written expressively in the book of James, who's quoted Proverbs. God hears the prayer of the righteous. Praise the Lord.
So, may the Lord us as human beings.
May the Lord
mention.
Make us people, men of prayer, always, unceasingly. People that serve in front of the golden incense altar, then you will realize wherever the Lord sends you and whatever you do, the Lord is always with you. And there will always be something happening. You will see a lot of things also, even in Nuremberg. Praise the Lord. I hope that this fellowship tonight is an encouragement for all of you. Not a command to pray. No. I'm not going to command anyone to pray. That doesn't work. But inspire you. Amen. An inspiration, to give you an inspiration. A desire in you. Lord, I want to be such a person that enters into this wonderful fellowship with you, to speak with you, to talk to you. Hallelujah. It is the God is our best person that we can talk to. He is so good and so wonderful. So I wish you have fun. It's such a joy to talk to God. Believe me. Amen. I can tell you many experiences, but maybe not tonight.